Yes, well, hello. Welcome to episode 13 of The Simpleton.
12.
No, you're right. It's episode 12.
12.
Yeah, you were like Rain Man then, Scott.
I tell you what, if this is a harbinger of things to come in this podcast, Daniel, ain't looking good. That's all I have to say.
What?
Pull your socks up.
Is that all you have to say for the rest of the podcast?
No, I'm saying if that's a harbinger of things to come, it ain't looking too swell, chap. Pull your socks up, dust yourself off.
Now you're mixing your slang. Swell is a term that's probably used in the northeast or towards the midwest of America. Swell, you know, that's gee guy. That's really swell. That's a term used there. And then you said chap, which is something I've never heard outside England. So I've turned the tables on you now.
You've turned the tables. We're all square.
All square. Shall we get on with the show?
Oh yeah.
How have you been, Scott, in Berlin, Germany? How have you been?
Well, you know, I've just been. And how have you been?
I've been quite good. That doesn't really make sense.
Well, neither here nor there, Daniel. I've been. Woo!
You've been where?
Now you're changing the context of the question.
I'm not changing the context of the question. I'm asking, how are you? How you been? What's been happening in your world?
Yeah, not a lot. It's all just motoring along, Daniel. You?
Yeah, good. Thanks.
Woo!
What's with the Michael Jackson impersonation?
I'm just ready to do this thing, Daniel. Just ready to do it. Let's get into it.
Scott.
Woo!
It's time for the world wrap up. What have you got, mate? What have you got for us this week?
Oh, look, I tell you what, Daniel. Explosive. This one's explosive. It's dicey grounds we're about to head on to with this, isn't it? It's going to be a big, big test of your professional ethics, this one, Daniel. Fine. Listeners, as you've no doubt heard, the Baku Sewing House in Azerbaijan is incensed at the ongoing sales of school uniforms at local markets by counterfeiters misusing the BSH label and attaching it to their duplicate products. The real BSH has now implored parents in the nation to avoid purchasing school uniforms at markets and to play it safe by going into the company's official retail centres to purchase them instead, where customers can at least be guaranteed that what they're buying is not a cheap copy. You dig, don't you, Daniel? You dig.
Yeah, I understand. It's a very much a real issue over there, and it's something that needs to be resolved as soon as possible for the kiddies, as much as anything else.
Of course.
And, you know, Azerbaijan is, you know, well, to call it properly, that the Republic of Azerbaijan is well known for many things. Scott.
Yeah.
I think you better let the listeners know that there's a potential conflict.
Yes. I will. I'll do that now. Listeners, this is uncharted territory we are now entering. I feel free to discuss the issue freely, but our friend here, namely Daniel, is not in the same position. You see, Daniel is one of the major stockholders in the BSH company, making this a delicate issue indeed for us to really get into on this podcast. And no, we're not covering the story today because of Daniel's connections to the company. We're covering it because it's crying out to be covered. Daniel, it's been said that the duplicate garments are of decidedly lower quality than the authentic, which is, of course, often the case, or is at least often alleged. The BSH has completely washed its hands of the duplicate products that are sold in markets across the country, adding that the color of the fake garments begins to drastically fade within 3 weeks. My question to you, Mr. James, is this. What is the reality on the ground in Baku, and how do you see it panning out? And let me remind you again, you are cautioned to tread very carefully on this. Or will be really facing a barrage of criticism about issues such as objectivity, conflict of interest, to name but two. Mr. James.
First of all, there's no need to call me Mr. James Scott. We've known each other for, what, over 20 years?
Yeah.
I think that's the first time you've ever called me Mr. James in your life. That's quite an unusual thing to do. But having said that, this is about education, Scott. This is about the education of children in what is sometimes a struggling little republic there in Azerbaijan. It's got nothing to do with my personal commercial interests. I stand nothing to gain by making sure that the kiddies over there in Northwest Asia are dressed appropriately. It's all about making sure that their educational needs are met, and they're met while they all look fantastically well-dressed at the same time. You don't want your kid going to school with faded clothes. You don't want there to be a shower and for the dye to run out of the clothes because the kid's just got a little bit wet. It gives the opportunity for the kids just to be kids. Because you know what, Scott? Children are our future. Let them... No, I won't start.
Doing that. No. I'm somewhat impressed with your statement there, but gee, it's a blurry line, isn't it?
It's blurry. It's blurry if it rains. That's what I'm saying.
I hear you on that. But gee, no, it's a blurry line between impartial journalist and unofficial spokesman for that company, the BSH. It's dodgy, Daniel.
I won't deny that I'm on a retainer with BSH,
yeah,
and that I am their Australasian spokesperson. While it's an issue that's popped up in the mainstream media, as you know, Scott, and that's why we're talking about it now.
Yeah.
I don't feel as though I'm in a conflict of interest because basically all I'm doing is looking after the educational interests of children from an impoverished nation.
All right. I think that was really good. Really good. That second statement, I reckon, good stuff. I reckon, Daniel, if there's nothing more to add to that, we'll just leave that where it is. I don't want to touch that one again. All right. Daniel.
Yes.
I believe you have an announcement to make.
That's not really a big announcement, but since I've been involved with BSH, sorry.
Yeah.
I've become more and more involved in the commercial world, and I've made a few connections, I made a few contacts, and as we've spoken about in recent weeks, Scott, the podcast itself has been struggling financially. So I have struck an agreement with an infomercial company.
Ooh.
And I've been able to basically negotiate an infomercial that we can use on this podcast. I think.
Oh.
Yes. Anyway, I've been given a USB key here, Scott, that I'm going to plug into the.
Yeah.
That I'm going to plug into the. That I'm going to plug into the computer machine. And I'll just with the click of a mouse, I'll bring up the advertisement. Are you all set at your end, Scott? You right? You got anything else to say?
Whoa.
Okay. Well, let me just roll it now.
Yeah.
Are you always struggling with your underwear riding off your clacker? Are you forever pulling pesky underpants from your clacker? Are you busy retrieving garments from your clacker when you could be spending valuable time with your family and friends? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then declackerized undergarments are for you. Using a special combination of microfibers and masking tape, declackerized underwear were designed by NASA scientists to withstand the harshest soft conditions. Declackerizers provide a nice firm tight fit and are proven to reduce the chance of crawling up your clacker by up to 95%. These space-age garments have undergone 1,000 hours of rigorous testing and come in red and blue. But how much would you pay for declackerized underwear? $50, $60, or even $70? Get fucked! The Declacker Rides will only cost you $49.95. Think of the relief next time you get off the couch without feeling the encroachment of undies up your clacker. Pay now by credit card and you'll get a bonus pair of Declacker Risers in light brown for only $30. So why waste time? Get your credit card handy and never feel the undies climb up your cracker again. Simply call 1-800-000-CLACKER now.
Yeah, so very pleased to have the Clackerizer as a proud sponsor of the Simpleton, Scott.
It's a shot in the arm we needed, isn't it?
It is.
I'm happy, Daniel. You hadn't pre-warned me about this, but I guess you're wanting to surprise me on air. This is good.
Well, is it?
This is what we've been crying out for.
I only signed off on the contract this afternoon, Scott. So
yep.
Very, very pleased. It sounds like a quality product. Any product designed by NASA has got to be a quality product, wouldn't you?
Go get them. Go out and get them. I'm sure they're top notch.
That number again is 1-800-000-CLACKER. So
there's the firm. Are they Aussie made?
Well, they're proudly Aussie owned. They're actually made in Tibet, but they are made using space aged microfibers as pioneered by NASA back in the early 70s. Shall we move on with with the show, Scott? What have you got in store for us? I know that you were working last week, paying ridiculous amounts of money to get some archival cricket footage or audio restored. I don't even want to know how many tens of thousands of dollars that cost you, but I do believe that the process has finally come to an end and you've got something for us.
You believe correctly. It has been restored. It is some archival audio of a cricket match between the Australian Imperial Second 11 and the touring Botswana team from the early 50s. I think it was 1953. Of course, it would be impractical to let the whole thing run during this podcast. So we're going to let the final over of that game roll, Daniel. A little tidbit of information for you. Botswana has a very unusual plural name, you know, Australia, Australians, and so on. It's actually Batswana. I didn't know that before I'd heard this telecast. I guess without mucking around, we will let it roll. What do you say? I reckon it'll be worth it. I reckon it'll be worth the money spent.
Welcome back to the Taguna Sports Complex. Listeners, we have just one over left in the spectacle. It's been a ring-a-ding-dinger, a marvellous display of dour cricket by both sides. It looked earlier in the day as if the Australians might make their move, but the Botswana players, led by Captain Panashego Kidikilbe, have dug in well, and it looks like we're going to have a trip for biscuits. What do you think, Peter?
You can say that again, Henry. Looks like we're headed for a draw, but it's been a splendid exhibition of stingy cricket. Over the 12 days of the game, neither side has given an inch, and when the Australians challenged early this morning, Captain Kedar Kilwe, backed up by Ian Karma, really dug their heels in for the Botswana team, and they still remain at the crease as the game draws to a dandy close.
Recapping the scores, Peter, the Australian Imperial Second 11 won the toss on day one and elected to bat. They were eventually dismissed for 297, just before stumps on the second day. The Botswana were eventually bundled out for 233 early on day four. The Australians played 116 in the second innings, which ended late on day four. The Botswana are currently on 6 for 152. At one stage this morning, they were on 6 for 35, but Kildakeva and Karma have been rock solid since the fall of the last wicket, and are on 79 and 15 respectively. And now, Simon Pritchard is ready to bow the last over of the game for the Australians.
Here he comes. And it's a ball, straight to the boundary.
A marvellous display of cricketing strength there, straight out of the textbook. And Karma goes to 19. He's batted very patiently for his runs. He's needed almost 5 hours and 142 deliveries for his 19, but he's served his team admirably.
You bet your bottom dollar, Henry. Let's not forget about Kildakilwe. He's been a real hatchet man for the team.
He's no crumb, is he, Peter? You're right about that. And again, here comes Pritchard.
It's a very unusual action he has, the way his elbow dislocates before each slip. Oh, he's clubbing it! Straight into little Bo Peak at mid-off.
Oh, and he's down.
Dropped it. The captain won't be happy with that. He put it down like a sick cat.
Absolutely sickening crunch on impact. Down like a sack of dead fieldsmen. And here comes Sven Svensson, unceremoniously booting the utterly limp peak out of the way. And they made two off that.
Captain Picard shaking his head in disappointment. Can't say I blame him.
No, can't blame the man. Catches win matches.
Circular metallic craft, approximately 5 meters across. There's a raised dome in the center.
Which explains why there is no specific rule prohibiting human sacrifice in modern test cricket.
Fascinating. The conference with umpire Death Strike still going on, and Pritchard's arm still bent backwards at a 90-degree angle at the elbow.
Looks like they've come to a decision. Ah, they've given Pritchard a runner.
Haven't seen this since 49. For those not up to date with modern rules, this means that another player will run up and mime bowling whilst Pritchard stands at the crease and with his left hand...
Counters are going off the charts. Have ordered all team members to take iodine as a precaution. In addition to the two bodies of the two small humanoids, there is another, significantly taller.
Ever seen a man's head explode like that since the unauthorized tour of the Arctic back in 37?
And you can see why protective gear has been standardized and firearms are restricted to those of a purely ornamental nature in the modern game.
It does take some sense of wonder out of the game, though.
Not sure I agree with you there, Peter. That last delivery was one of a kind.
One of a kind for wicketkeeper William Keeper, that's for sure.
And a substitute keeper, randomly selected from the crowd, is putting on keeper's kit.
Not sure those red whites are in keeping with the spirit of the game. Two more deliveries to come off this over.
Not sure that the 10-year-old girl that was selected will fit in with...
Majestic 12, repeat. Are down. Code EPEP. Code EPEP.
Inbound. Godspeed X-20. Tell your family.
Shadow of a doubt. 6 runs. 2 children shattered and immobile, but without a doubt having the time of their lives. If you are going to go to a 12-day, 7-fatality draw, this is how you do it. What a spanking match this has been.
Couldn't agree with you more, Henry. A bit bloodier than we're used to, but what a treat for the spectators.
Yes, the battered yet jubilant survivors, all except for a hollow-eyed Captain Picard limping off the field, heads held high.
And those tears we can see, Henry.
Captain Picard, yes, weeping tears of joy at this ruddy great display of cricket and sportsmanship.
The Oval. Come in.
Well, fuck me, Scott. Do you really think that was worth the tens of thousands of dollars that you paid to get that restored?
Is that a rhetorical question or actually posing the question from the heart?
It's a question from the bottom of my heart, Scott.
Right.
How much did that cost? Give me a ballpark figure.
I gave you the figures last week.
You gave me, 16 full-time staff.
About 35 hours each for the week.
35 hours each at about $32 an hour.
Yeah.
For well over a week, including overtime on the Sundays. I know that they had to work on the Sunday to get them ready for this podcast.
Yeah.
Give me a ballpark figure.
All right, let me do it. Just roughly. Okay, so you got the 16 workers, multiply that by 35. What have you got? You've got about, I'm just doing it roughly, just rough guess, $500, multiply that by about $8,000, give or take, $5,000 or $6,000.
That's a very conservative estimate.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just do a few quick figures.
Yeah.
16 by 35 by 32 equals $17,920. That's just for man hours alone.
That's phenomenal.
That is phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
That's just for man hours. That's not deploying any of the technology, the access of the tape, the distribution rights that you had to pay to get that broadcast in the first instance.
Mm.
I hope your family's got some food on the table tonight, Scott, because you're going to be paying that off for quite some time.
Well, yeah, I guess you could argue that. But I'll tell you what, with this new product you've got on board, I reckon things are going to ease up. I no longer need to dip out of my own pocket, and I reckon it's all looking up now. So yeah, it'll take a little while.
When you mention the new product, do you mean the Declackerizer, or do you mean the next sponsor?
That's exciting, isn't it?
The Declackerizer for me was neither here nor there, you know.
Yeah,
it's a product that solves a human issue, but this next product is genuinely exciting. Shall I go on?
Go on. I know about this one, listeners. This is the one I'm, was told about. Fantastic, exciting. Move on with it, Daniel. Hit us.
Woo. Well.
Guten Tag. This is Maximilian Wolfgang von Wilhelm, and you are listening to the Simpleton Podcast.
Well, Scott, I'm very, very excited to announce that the Simpleton has a new sponsor. We've had a share of ups and downs. We don't need to rerun history here, but Telemarine Clutches and Brakes, Sydenham. Oh no, I can't mention them. No. But we've been fucked over. Let's just say that we've been fucked over on a couple of occasions by would-be sponsors. But this time, I think that we have a sponsor that will stay the course. Scott, without further ado, I would like to introduce you and the listeners to Ringwood Scaffolding. Ringwood Scaffolding has been serving Melbourne's outer eastern suburbs for over 20 years. Whether you're rendering, painting or stabilising your walls, Noam and the boys are happy to assist you with all your scaffolding needs, with competitive price packages to meet all your requirements. As a special introductory offer to the Simpleton subscribers, Ringwood Scaffolding is offering a 20% discount for first-time clients. All you have to do to take advantage of this amazing offer is quote the term Mayan Dynasty. Ringwood Scaffolders, return to render. Proud sponsors of the Simpleton Podcast. Wow.
Well.
Gee. Whoa, that is... I am pumped. I've always been a fan of scaffolding.
Yeah.
And I've always been, fascinated by the process involved. But, I never thought in my wildest dreams I would have an official affiliation with a scaffolding company. So this is awesome. And I don't know whether you've ever been to Ringwood, Scott, but it's one of Melbourne's hidden treasures.
We have been out there together, but we won't mention that, along with redheaded colleague who took us out there.
Actually,
but,
yes.
Yeah, we won't mention that, though.
Yes.
No. But, yeah.
No, well, there's nothing actually to mention, but...
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's exciting, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Very exciting.
It's exciting. Exciting!
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably too exciting.
Yeah. But without more blathering, waffling, exciting stuff. But Daniel, you are doing the shout out this week.
Of course I fucking am. I do it every fucking week. Sorry, mate, I didn't mean to tee off on you like that. That's probably... This week's shout out goes to the North Scoresby Octopi. The Macedon Rangers Lacrosse League reached a climax last week when the Octopi defeated their arch rivals, the Sunbury E-Tags, in a brutal grand final. Some 19 players are unemployed, and police were called at one stage when a parking dispute between a BMW and an Audi A8 driver threatened to turn ugly. But despite all this controversy, the Octopi are set to leave all that behind them as they head off to Wobby's World in sunny Nunawading. Scott, what is Nunawading best known for?
That's where Neighbours are shot.
Correct. Anyway,
Good one. Nice response. But yeah, sorry.
Well, you got it in one.
Okay. Yo.
Anyway, Wobby's World has been renowned as one of the world's great amusement parks. The park has some characteristic modes of transport, including a helicopter, better known as the Whirly Bird, which goes around very tentatively on a monorail circuit. We have the Moa motor-driven six-wheeler ATVs. We have a real Bell helicopter refurbished as a ground-mounted simulator. We have a splashdown mini log ride, which I don't know whether you've been on that, Scott, but Jesus Christ, it's a lot of fun. There is, of course, a mini golf course. There are trampolines, and who doesn't love a good trampoline ride? And who doesn't like to pay for the privilege of jumping up and down on a trampoline every now and then? There's, of course, the ball pit, which I know is a personal favourite of yours, Scott. And, of course, there are several food and drinks kiosks. And and on top of that, to put a bow on top of the whole scenario, there is a miniature car circuit, which if you can't go out to Wobby's World and not feel alive, there is something wrong with you. You don't have a pulse. You really don't.
Are we getting paid for this? This sounds like a full-blown advertorial. Are we getting paid for it, Daniel?
This is pro bono, Scott. This is pro bono. This is from the heart. Come on. Every Melburnian at some stage, every Victorian at some stage has had the pleasure of going out to Wobby's World and experiencing the full Melbourne W2 class trams and a large Vickers Viscount propeller plane fitted out as a movie projector simulator. When you get in that thing, you actually feel like you're there, you know? You feel like you're actually taking flight. I've always wanted to be a pilot, and this has been my one and only opportunity to actually experience that. Interesting little fact, Scott. Wobby's World has been around for some over 30 years, and that actual plane fitted out as a movie projector simulator was something that Qantas and Boeing in particular based their flight simulators on for the training of their professional pilots. Did you know that?
I didn't know. I'm finding out heaps here. This is all amazing stuff. Every word of it is amazing, what you're saying right now. Please give us more, Daniel.
Well, as you know, Scott, the park was closed down for some 28 years.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s. Until recently being revived and rejuvenated by the Saudi royal family in late 2011. And has been restored once again to its former glory. So have a great time, boys. Have a great time. There's not going to be one dull moment. First of all, you're in Nutter Wadding. And I'll tell you what, one of my favourite intersections in the world is the intersection of Springvale Road and Burwood Highway. But additionally to that, you know, it is the home of Neighbours. So there's a chance that they might actually see Toadie from Neighbours driving down Springvale Road at some point. That's how real it is. But have a great time. It should be awesome. Don't do anything
Scott and I wouldn't do.
Don't fucking do it. No. Don't even fucking think about it.
Boys will be boys, won't they, Daniel?
But Scott, there is a side story here, and it's what I mentioned towards the end of the shout out.
Yeah.
I don't want to speculate too much, but why would the Saudi royal family invest in rejuvenating Wobby's World, do you think?
That is a fantastic question. I've thought about that myself. There's always a reason. Nothing comes for free, Daniel. I'll put another one to you, Daniel. Another question to you. I'm sure, a different question. I'm sure the answer will be something similar. Daniel, you might recall that a recent Cricket World Cup was held in the Caribbean. You recall that?
Like it was yesterday.
Like it was yesterday, yeah. Back in about 07 or 08. Why would each brand new World Cup stadium be funded by the Chinese government? I don't know, Daniel. The Chinese aren't big on their cricket, but, you know, getting back to that question.
You mentioned the Chinese.
Mm.
It reminds me of that letter last week when that guy wrote in and he asked whether people in China who live in China call Chinese food, or whether they or whether they just call it food. Look, I don't know what the deal is with the Saudi royals investing in Wobby's World. It's just, I guess it's just one of those anomalies. We don't want to discourage foreign investment in Australia.
No.
And we certainly don't want to discourage any investment at all in another wanting. And look, if anyone emails us and tells me that Wobby's World is in Forest Hill and not another wanting, they're going to get a short, sharp, get fucked from me on that one. Look, Scott, let's move on to listeners' letters.
I've got number one. I usually do have. This one is from Chadwick Hypotenuse, philosopher from Broadmeadows. That, of course, well, it can't be his real name, can it? Chadwick Hypotenuse, but that's the name attached. Refers to himself as a philosopher from Broadmeadows. Broadmeadows, Daniel, can you tell us in one sentence what it is, what it's like?
It is, well, it's as the name suggests, Scott.
Yeah, this is what Chadwick says. excuse me.
Yeah, you know, I'll fucking have to edit that out. You've just added another 3 minutes to editing. Thanks. Sorry.
This is what he says. I've been highly puzzled about something for quite a long time now. I can't get it out of my head, but in a way I also can't get it in. If this continues, I'm going to become literally insane. Then again, maybe I will not. But if I don't, I will then be plagued with the question of how I did not. And why not? It's also confusing, but in a way it is clear as day. Does it have to be one or the other, or can it be both? Or is a third option possible? So many questions, including this. If there is no conceivable answer, is it still a question? That's the end of the letter. Daniel.
You want me to comment on that, do
you? Oh, you don't have to. I think. Well, do you want to?
I don't want to, but I feel like I have to.
Okay.
What the fuck was that about? That was neither a statement nor a question or really a letter.
Well, Burma.
One of those
Burma,
one of those...
Daniel. Burma.
Yeah. Okay. For people tuning in for the first time, let me just say that we're all about free speech here on The Simpleton. But I have warned Scott, who basically vets all of the letters, that you can write into us by simply emailing contact@thesimpleton.com.au, that while we're all for free speech, we're all against things that waste our time and therefore your time.
You've got letter two, old buddy. Hit us.
This one comes from a place called Barbuda, or Barbada, Barbuda. It'd have to be Barbuda.
It has to be Barbuda. Where is it?
You know what? I think that is in the Caribbean Islands, also known as the West Indies.
Okay.
That we have such a listenership there. It's unbelievable.
Daniel, might I send out a greeting to all of our listeners in the Caribbean?
Go on.
That was it. What's his name?
His name is Turbo Caesar. And Turbo... And Turbo writes, smooth guys, smooth. Well, thanks very much for that, Turbo. And, you know, keep those letters coming in from the Caribbean. We absolutely love them.
We love them.
You really love them.
Do you have another letter?
Yeah, they've got one more letter.
Yeah.
It's just been handed to me by my secretary.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet. But, okay, letter three, let me just read it out. My name is Dale E. Richardson, and I've seen things you wouldn't believe. Unexplained phenomena are a fact of life regardless of public perception. I've had first-hand experience with UFOs, aliens, legendary creatures, and the spirit world, and have performed numerous exorcisms both and without Vatican approval. Such phenomena are worthy of our time and consideration and should be treated with discernment and veracity by the human collective. there is one there is one who has made it his purpose to investigate such phenomena with an insight possessed by few, if any at all. There is one. His name is Dale E. Richardson. That letter came from Dale E. Richardson of No Fixed Address. Scott, that name rings a bit of a bell for me.
Rings a bell. Yeah. What are you thinking? It rings a bell,
I think I remember seeing some documentaries back in the late 90s, early 2000s from some guy calling himself, I don't know whether it was Dale Richardson or Tom Jenkinson, but I think it was Dale Richardson, and he sort of passed himself off as some sort of all-knowing sort of person that had insight into you know, the pretty much the third dimension, things out of our spiritual realm.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that he's decided to make contact with us.
It is interesting. I wonder if there's an ulterior motive.
Look, Scott, can you do me a favor?
What?
I know the letter was from No Fixed Address, but would you mind following up with Dale Richardson? I'd like to know a little bit more about this guy.
I'm going to do just that. I'm going to follow up on the guy. Before we close, Daniel, I believe that we have found someone. You and I, just to fill the listeners in, we've been looking for a sort of a go-to man, a man who would have a lot to say about a wide variety of things.
Yeah.
We've been looking for someone to fill that role, and I believe we have found someone. Can you fill us in a little bit on that?
Well, just to add an extra dimension to the podcast, we've been looking for an international correspondent to, someone who is learned and knows about the ways of, you know, geopolitical matters, I suppose. And we've despite Scott blowing at least $17,000 on the restoration of that cricket audio, we've been able to scrape together through, you know, my stand-up routine and through the endorsement of the Declackerizer, some money to basically pay a correspondent on probably a 2 or 3 weekly basis to come in and actually give his view on the world. Scott, you were the one that actually referred me to Clowfus. What's Clowfus's surname?
You know what? That's actually a good question. I don't know. So I guess at this point,
you've checked his credentials. It's all above board.
His credentials, it's all above board. But for the life of me, I don't know his surname. That's a good question. I don't think I have ever heard it or come across it. I guess we'll just refer to him as Clowfus.
Sure. Look, we'll have an opportunity to ask him that when we speak to him, either next week or the week after.
Yes.
But you know, I feel like we're getting value for money out of that. I'm not going to go into the contractual details of signing him on, but let's just say he wasn't expensive. Anyway, Anyway, Scott, you know what? I think it's time to put this episode in the can. If people want to contact us, contact@thesimpleton.com.au. People want to listen to us, just type The Simpleton into your iTunes search engine and fucking rate us. Give us a fucking rating. You know, we deserve that. We put in a lot of hours week in, week out to bring this shit to you. It's not for fucking... Well, it is for free. But Jesus Christ, the least you can do is just give us a simple fucking rating. It's not much to ask. Jesus fucking Christ, you bunch of ungrateful pricks. Anyway, Scott, is there anything that you see on the horizon ahead over the next week that we should be aware of?
Oh, you've done it again, Daniel. You stumped me. I don't know. I didn't think about... We've done it again. I haven't thought about it. You?
I know. It's really your Achilles heel. I go for it week in, week out.
Yeah, fucking hell. Yeah.
Well, what I see ahead, I've got a bit of a scoop, actually.
Yeah?
I can't go into too much detail about it, of course, because this is The Simpleton. But watch out for a work cover case coming out of Nutter Wadding over the next week.
Ooh.
Involving an incident at a amusement park in that particular vicinity.
Oh my goodness.
Apparently one of the employees of said amusement park will be suing the owners for criminal negligence. So just keep an eye out for that.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah, wow. Woo! Yeah. Anyway, Scott, I bid thee farewell. Goodbye.
Goodbye.